In the light of that reading, I'm aware that there are two or three families in the congregation this morning who've had quite worrying and concerning news about loved ones this week. So before I start, I'd just like to pray. Father, we do pray for those families amongst us who are hurting this week, who are worried about loved ones. And we do pray for healing. And we pray that this place would be a safe community where we can share and support each other practically and in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, on to business. Earlier this year, we had a series on God's love languages. Five ways that God expresses his love for us, and five ways in which we can express God's love back to him, reflect it back to him, and also we can express it to each other. And we discovered that God is the master of giving, and he's motivated in that by his love for us, which is overwhelming. In fact, God so loved the world that he gave his very best. He gave his one and only in Jesus. And when Jesus stepped down to be with us as we celebrate at Christmas, for our sake, he became poor, destitute, so that through his poverty, we might become spiritually rich. This is a gift from God that's so indescribable, it takes our breath away. And we reflected what a joy it is to give to God and to each other in recognition of what God has given to us, to invest our lives in the kingdom of God, to share the good news of God's gift with those around us and the rest of the world. And then we come to today's Old Testament reading. We find God's people in a period of grace. They've experienced a lot of grace from God in lots of different ways. He's rescued them from slavery at the hands of the Egyptians. He's spared them from plagues. He's saved them from a vast pursuing Egyptian army. He's provided food and water and shelter for them in the desert. He's given them a framework for fruitful living. And he's rebuilt his friendship with them. All this, even though time and again they turned their back on him. God gave his people a new promise for the future, completely unconditionally. They really did have lots to celebrate and be thankful for. And if they'd been here at St. Mary's 3 weeks ago, God's people, they would have heard, along with you and me, how important celebrating and giving thanks is. In fact, how vital it is to develop a holy habit of celebration and praise. And hopefully, if they were sat here, they'd be looking forward to next week's holy habit when we come back to it on our third Sunday next week, just like you and I are, hopefully. So we find God's people are very thankful at this point in their journey. They're reflecting on God's providence, his goodness, and his grace. And they would have been singing with us, as we've just sung, Hosanna in the highest. They celebrated God's amazing love for them. And then they did something amazing. They had felt called together to resource the building of a tabernacle, a wonderful tent which was to act as a portable temple as they traveled. I think we've got a sort of artist's impression of what that might have looked like, hopefully. So the outside would have looked a little like that. Quite a grand sort of building surrounded by sort of a fenced off area where they would have used that as their temple as they went around. And there's some inside shots as well, I think, of what this might have looked like. Very grand. They brought wonderful gold and silver and rubies and all sorts of fine metals and so on. And there's another page, I think. I was saying at the 9 o'clock, it might have been designed by Stephen, this, I think. Possibly. So they came together and invested in this, and each family invested in the project, and they gave generously. And the people were moved by love to offer back to God what God had already given them. And they gave him a lot, more than enough for the job. They invested in the kingdom of God as an act of worship and love. It was a movement of the heart, and it was extravagant. And it was so excessive, in fact, that the leaders had to ask them to stop. They had to be restrained from giving, which is quite an interesting thing for a leader to say to his congregation. A little bit like Eamon Holmes. Was it Eamon Holmes? Yeah, did had to do to his wife. I assume it was his wife, was it? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, sorry. Start again. And so their investment was used by God to bring heaven to earth for God's people. It was an amazing work that they did. And it was a missionary work. It wasn't just about building a building. It was about how they took God's kingdom around with them as they went. Now, as you will know, we have a similar opportunity before us right now. Just like God's people in our Bible reading, we have felt called to come together to resource the transformation of this tabernacle. It's not quite as portable as the Israelis one, but we feel called to invest in this building for the next few generations. And you probably will have heard me preach now, maybe fed up, that now is the time. Time to prepare this building for the next century. Time to transform this building for a city that's going to grow to 30,000 people in the next few years. To fashion an open, beautiful, and flexible St. Mary's for the future, so that it can be used 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. A building to enhance our worship and our prayer. A building to serve our families and our schools. A place of hospitality for the older members of our community. A place from which we can accomplish Jesus' mission for our church and our lives. To make disciples. Now is the time. So this morning, and over the coming few weeks, I'd like to encourage all of us to reflect on the gifts that God has given to us, the gift of life itself through Jesus, to celebrate that and to give thanks for the blessings we have as a church and a family. And I'd like to encourage each of us, each family, to invest in the transformation of this church building, to bring our talents, our passions, and our gifts, and set them to work. We've created a little video to give you a little bit of an idea about what this means in practice. The architects sent us a program that meant with a joystick we could walk through the building, and I've used some Xbox software to actually create a film, so hopefully this will work. But what you will see in the film isn't, to use a pun, set in stone. It's actually just an example of how things could be. So, for example, in the film, there's a wooden floor in here, and probably it'll be stone. But the important thing is to see the building clear and what the effect that might have. And some of the things around the church at the moment aren't in the film, but they won't go missing. I mean, these plaques on the walls, obviously the architects couldn't do all the detail. So don't worry that we're going to take out the stained glass windows or anything like that. This is really just to help us imagine what things are going to be like or could be like as we go forward. So can we show the video? So I'd like you to come with me on a journey into a transformed St. Mary's, a building ready for a growing city, functional, beautiful, and open. In this particular film, it's set out probably for a wedding. It might be different on a Sunday morning. So here we are facing the front of St. Mary's, and you will notice how beautiful, uncluttered, and simple it looks. As we stroll towards the front, you will notice that the organ has been relocated, so we're no longer facing the back of it during worship. It's actually been placed over here, and there is access via the new ramp here so that everybody can take part in leading worship. And as we face the back of the church, you'll see there's a small balcony in front of the bell ringing tower, and that will seat about 30 people. And underneath it is a new glazed room, which will be used for creche on a Sunday morning, but which can be opened up for big events. Here's the new Lady Chapel. We'll pop in there shortly. But for the moment, here we are back in the chancel, just here. At the moment, it's empty, but normally we imagine it will be set up for daily prayer. The previously hidden door to the outside here comes back into use. There's a false wall here that will enable us to provide storage behind the altar on one side. And on the other side, there will be doors. We don't have to crash through the wall. And on the other side, the space will, there'll be a vestry. So we'll be able to use these spaces to keep the church neat and tidy, even though it's being used by more people more of the time. Now we go back to the Lady Chapel. There's a glass door here providing access to the Garden of Remembrance. The Lady Chapel can be set up for communion, obviously, on a Thursday, but in this picture it's configured as a place of hospitality for the hundreds of people who will be our visitors and guests every week. Notice there was a glass door we've just gone past. I think we'll see it again in a minute, on the west end of the chapel, just here, giving access to what we should now probably call the cloisters. As we walk towards the back of the church, we find that the vestry has been converted into a small meeting or Sunday school room. In this configuration for a wedding, we've put some tables at the back, but these might not be there on a Sunday. Now we stand in front of the new glazed area at the back of the church, which would become the creche on a Sunday morning. And here we are on the balcony, looking down into the main church, giving us a bird's eye view of the beauty of the newly transformed building. From here, you might imagine the way the church could be configured in the round for confirmations and baptisms, or as normal for a Sunday morning. Or you can imagine how Toppings might use the building, or how a hotel might hold a conference. You can imagine us gathering the congregations of our village churches for a special service. Now we're walking through that door there into the cloisters, and you can see it's a very comfortable area to meet and greet people in. You can walk straight through to the Lady Chapel and this new door here, so that the chapel could, in fact, be used as a separate space. In this visualization, there's a glass screen on the left, which separates it from the rest of the church, possibly. And you'll see on the right that there's a new glass door leading off from the cloisters. The new toilet facilities are here on the right. We'd have 5 or 6 toilets here, probably, to complement a new one at the back of the church near the creche. The old hall won't be changed much, probably redecorated and probably with new flooring. So not much change in that room. But there are substantial changes in the new hall, where we are putting in a number of small rooms so that we can have 7 separate spaces of different sizes to accommodate our Sunday school and teenagers. This mezzanine room would be used for our pathfinders, for example, on a Sunday morning. There is a glass screen that stops you falling off. And now here we are in our main reception area, which is a new room built onto the front of the new hall over there. You can see that it's a light and welcoming space to enter the church on a weekday. There's a small meeting room here which could be used for CAP or for counselling, and then for regen on a Sunday morning. And we'll just pop outside for a moment and notice a sheltered walkway between the church and the reception area. And now as we go back in, we'll take a trip into the office through this glass door here. The office will offer space for at least 4 people to work. So I hope you've been inspired by that little journey. You can see it on the website if you want to, as often as you like. And what I'd like to do really is that you will invite you to join Debbie and myself in praying, in using your skills, and in particular, giving generously, financially, investing towards making this vision happen. Thank you very much for that. Now, I'd like to invite Derek up. I think all of you will know Derek, but Derek is one of our church wardens, and there's a lot on his shoulders at the moment because he's also leading the building transformation project for us. So, Derek, what's next?
Okay, there's a few things that we need to do. I think the main thing is to have everybody on board with the project, actually, to have all of us enthusiastic, wanting to see it happen. And once we've done that, then there's two other things that need to be going along probably at the same time. First thing is consulting, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but both with you and a few other bodies. But the main thing, I suppose, is raising the money.
So tell me about the money, Derek.
Right, the money. The film you just saw and the things you saw in it, don't know how much you thought it was going to cost, but professional advisors tell us that it's going to cost £1.5 million. Say it quickly. And we've got some funds in the bank, but we need to raise £1.25 million. Most of this, and this is the bad news really, is going to need to come from all of us, the members of St Mary's, although we will obviously be asking the Ely community and grant-making bodies for their support. And so in connection with that fundraising bit, we're holding a pledge weekend on the weekend of 28th and 29th of October, the end of this month, Saturday and Sunday. And during the next week, all the people that we've got names and addresses for that are on electoral roll and completed contact forms will be receiving a letter, an appeal letter from us, and a pledge form. And what we'd like everybody to do is to think and pray about how you might respond to this appeal. And then come along on the 28th and 29th of October with your completed pledge. Not everybody, of course, is going to be able to give financially, and we recognise that. But hopefully they'll be able to give of their time, and we still want everybody to come along on the 28th and 29th of October to see the film again, to look at the plans which will be on display, and then to give us your comments, ask questions, and see how you may be able to help as we move this forward.
So, the consultation, how will that work?
Okay. We've already done one consultation. We did that last August, a year ago. And many people responded to that. And as a result of that consultation then, some changes were made to the plans, and they've been reflected in the film that you've seen today. The film itself is now available on the church website. So if you've never visited the church website before, stick in St Mary's Church Ely on Google, follow the bit that says transformation, and you'll hear Chris's dulcet tones come across and the film showed once again. And so, have a look at that. And then we also need to consult with yourselves to get that feedback, but with various other bodies. So people, there's various church authorities we have to talk to, and we're doing that right now. People like Historic England. This is a listed building, been here a very long time. And we need to talk to them, we're doing that, and we need their permission as well before we proceed.
That's great. And so when do we hope the building work will take place?
Well, that's obviously subject to the money, but we would like to think that in the next 2 to 3 years, we could do that.
That'd be wonderful. And how much are you expecting us as a congregation to invest on the pledge day?
You could say that's a $64,000 question, I suppose, or in this case, £1.25 million. We haven't actually put a figure to how much we're going to get on the pledge day. I think what we need to do is trust in God and think about how we can respond. £1.25 million, though, would be very nice. But certainly, I think what we do need to do as a congregation, both this congregation, the one at 9 o'clock, and other members of the church that are not here today, is just to think about, so what can we give? And then obviously to pledge it. I think basically the more we can give ourselves, as a community, the church community, the more realistic and more likely we'll get support from outside bodies and the rest of the local community when they see just how much we've done ourselves towards it.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Derek.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll pray. Should we pray for a moment? Father, we take a deep breath when we talk about those sorts of figures. But we know that this is not a building project. It's a project for mission. It's a project that will put this church in the right place for the next 100 years, hopefully. And we do feel called to do this so that we can serve our community and so that we can reach out and make disciples, calling people into your great adventure, Lord. So, Father, we do pray that as a church we would respond. You would help us to be generous, help us to invest what needs to be done. We pray, Father, that nobody would give out of guilt or feeling forced, but that all of us would invest in love and in response to your love for us. So, Father, as these letters fall on our mats in the coming days, may our giving reflect your love for us. Thank you, Father. Amen.